morning. Wasn't that beautiful? Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you, James. Thank you, Higher Vision Choir. My God, that's gorgeous. Happy Easter. We are here. It is a new day. Yay, we made it, right? Yay. And that's what really Easter symbolizes, right? Easter symbolizes a new day. It's a powerful time of transformation, rebirth, and renewal. It is the springtime where we plant the garden. So here you're going to have an opportunity to plant. We till the soil, right? We prepare the earth to accept the seeds of our ideas. The seeds of our ideas that we will then manifest sometime later, right? This is your life, right here, right now. And what is happening in your life right now is the outpicturing of your previous thoughts. Okay, so what's happening right now, right here and now, is the outpicturing of previous thoughts. So what you want to do is you want to become really clear about what you want to plant now. It's the springtime. It's a powerful time of the year. It is a powerful time to manifest, to begin to manifest, to put those seeds of intention into the soil. If we want to eat icy cold watermelon in the summer, right, when it's 90 degrees with a big old glass of iced tea or whatever, we have to plant the watermelon seeds now, right? If we want to carve pumpkins in the fall, we need to plant pumpkin seeds now. That's what we do. We want juicy tomato sauce with our spaghetti or our lasagna at Christmas time, yes? We need to plant those tomato seeds now. Now is the time to plant the seeds into the soil, into the law that we have consciously prepared by removing false thoughts, fear thoughts, doubt, right? The stones, the clay, the twigs, the rocks. We have to, what the heck was that? We have to clear away all that debris. We have to prepare the soil. We have to clear our minds. We have to be really purposeful about what it is we are putting into the soil. We have to be clear about what we're planting. Don't plant sweet peas if you want zucchini. You know, you have to be clear about it. We have to be clear about our growth and our desire and what we are being called to become. And that's really what the Easter story is about. It's about this process through this transformational period of our lives where we are transformed. We die to the old. We die to that which no longer serves us. We have to put closure to it. And then we are reborn into the new. And the new is a product of our intentions, the intentions we set. So that growth and that change and that transformation is what we go through all the time. We go through it all the time. And the Easter story is a powerful story to guide us through that transformational process. Mark Anthony Lord is a minister back east, and he wrote this book called The Seven Living Words of Jesus. And it is the metaphysical interpretation of the Easter story, really. It is about those seven powerful words that Jesus spoke that guides us through the entire Easter story of really being betrayed and being crucified and being and dying into the old and then being reborn into the new. And this guide through that Easter story is our guide. It is our story. The only way that we can make sense of these ancient scripture is as we apply them to our own lives, right? They have to have meaning for us. So if you think about the last words of Jesus, the last phrases of Jesus, the first one comes, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Right in Luke. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So the first word is forgiveness. The first word is forgiveness. Let's be sure we start with something easy, right? Okay, fine. Let's kick it off with forgiveness. When we are going through the transformational experience, normally it's triggered by something. Normally there is a catalyst, right, that sends us on this journey of transformation. And it's usually betrayal by something or someone. You know, betrayal can be anything. Betrayal can be anything that's not in our story about our life should be. Right? We have a plan. We have an idea of how our life should be. And anytime something, you know, makes us go on a left turn, sometimes we get blindsided. Anytime something happens that's not according to our plan, that that can be a betrayal, right? It's like, whoa, I wasn't thinking that. How come that happened? Why? What's going on? That's a betrayal, you know? And we get blindsided all the time. A spouse leaves us. A parent dies. We get fired. We get transferred. That betrayal can be anything. But it starts us on this process of transformation. So we say, I'm having a difficult time forgiving, right? So we go to that higher power. If I can't forgive, Father, forgive them, you know? My higher power within me, forgive them, because I can't right now. Right? You're a little like, you know. So what we're doing is we call upon that inner power. We call upon the higher power to forgive for us, to allow us that greater vision, to allow us the God's eye view of the situation so we can see the gift in it. So we ask for help to forgive the one who crucifies us. And then what happens is we find out that our betrayer is our teacher. Ugh, I know. But we do. We find out that the betrayer is the teacher, and it came with a gift in its hand. And it is to point us to where our healing needs to be. It's to point us to where that false belief is, or that hidden emotional conflict is, or that subconscious thought that we didn't even know that we still were wrestling with. But it gets brought up to the light for healing, right? So the betrayal is always has a gift in its hand. And so forgiveness is the first step in this transformational process in our own personal Easter story. The second line that Jesus spoke was, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Right? And who did he say it to? He said it to the two fellows, one on each side of him. And what is that word? But now, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So that word is now. That's the second powerful word that Jesus spoke. So metaphysically, when he was addressing this one and this one, he was addressing past and future. Past and future. Metaphysically, those two men represented the past and the future. And paradise, we know paradise is just a state of mind, right? It's the kingdom of heaven within. And it is at hand. It's available to all of us, always, but only in the present moment. Only in the eternal now. And all of the good that we experience and all of the good that we know that we are ascends with us. What do we leave behind but the false beliefs? What do we leave behind but the things that no longer serve us? The old way of thinking or the old way of being. What doesn't work anymore, we leave behind. So this saying, today you'll be with me in paradise, is telling us, do not be afraid of the unknown. It's paradise. The eternal now is paradise. Don't be concerned about the future. Don't regret the past. Bring yourself fully present. Bring yourself fully present in the now. It's the second word. The third word is a great one. The third word is, woman, behold your son, behold your mother. Jesus said this to his mother Mary and also addressing the disciple John. The word is oneness. He is having them look at each other, to behold each other as the one life, as the one love. We are being told to behold all people as one. We are being instructed to be in right relationship with the rest of humanity. Be in right relationship to our brothers and sisters around the planet. We must see the face of God in all if we see the face of God in one. So who are we holding outside of our circle? Who are we holding outside of our circle of unconditional love? Who doesn't belong, right? We can love up to the edge of our comfort zone, and then there's that guy, you know? Or woman. I mean, there's always somebody outside the circle. So we need to bring them in, because it is that... It is that judgment, it's that keeps us from being able to transform. It keeps us from the transformational experience. We must see all people as deserving unconditional love. That is the key to our awakening. That's our practice, right? Our practice is to praise and raise. We know that we can practice that if we feel like there is someone that we're holding outside of our circle of love. We praise them and raise them. And then we welcome them into our hearts. You are my brother. You are my sister. We are one. You are loved. That is our practice. That is our practice of oneness. And that continues us on this transformational process through the crucifixion and into the dying. The fourth word of transformation comes from Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the word that comes out of that phrase is truth. Truth. Do we find it difficult that Jesus maybe was in fear or doubt at that particular moment? Is it possible that Jesus felt abandoned? I think when you take a step back from the story, we realize again the words are for us. The story is for us. The great teacher speaks across the ages. And the instruction as we process through from betrayal to crucifixion to resurrection in our own life, the word is truth, right? It is always darkest before the dawn. Isn't that where we fear the most? Is that critical point? We process through these times of transformation. We dig really, really deep into the process of forgiveness. We practice seeing oneness. We commit to living in the now, and then we can hit the wall. We absolutely run out of steam at some point. We can be right in the middle of this journey of transformation and feel like giving up. I can't do it anymore, right? Has anybody, me? Anybody felt that way? We are in the middle, and we fear what's next. We've let go. We're no longer anchored to what was, and we are afraid of what's coming. We don't have a clue, and there we are in the middle of this thing. So it doesn't surprise me that we can feel abandoned by God. So it's okay to speak the doubt. It is okay, and that's what this phrase tells us. It's okay to speak the doubt. You know how we, in New Thought, we're always, don't say it. You know, shh, quiet, cancel. Don't say that, because it's negative, you know. It's so superstitious, don't do that. It's superstitious. It's okay to speak the doubt. It doesn't make the doubt stronger. What it does is it shines the light on it so that it can be transformed, right? You know that old expression about what you resist persists, right? We've heard that. We've been in New Thought forever. We've heard that. What you resist persists. But the other part of that thing is what you embrace, you can transform. What you embrace, you can transform. So it's not a bad thing to look at your fear or to look at your doubt or identify your false belief, because that means we're shining the light on it. We're bringing it up to consciousness so that it can be changed. Named must your fear be. Before banish it, you can. Yes, I am quoting Yoda. Wise little green dude, okay? We don't want to practice the spiritual bypass right here. We want to name it for what it is so that we can transform it. You know, the spiritual bypass, you know, is the metaphysician in hell. You know, I'm not here and it's not hot. You know, put a little sunshine and rainbows and unicorns around. Nobody will know we're really in hell. It's not about denying what's going on. What we can name, we can transform. So the key is to feel that feeling if we feel forsaken, if we feel afraid. If we look at what no longer works, we are shining the light on it. We can transform it. We may not know what's to come, but we know what's been. And speaking our fear aloud doesn't magnify the fear, but it diffuses its power. Diffuses its power. And now we are led to the fifth word. And the fifth word comes from Jesus' line, I thirst. And the word is vision. Yay, don't you love that? I was so glad to hear that. When we thirst, right, we're thirsting for something. We thirst for knowledge. We thirst for wisdom. We thirst for the things that give life meaning. Thirsting is what happens when the darkness of the dying gives way to the brightness of the light of a new dawn. We are past that halfway point now. We are coming into a new day. We're beginning to feel the stirrings of possibility. what's possible. I've died to the old. I've gone through the worst of it. Now here is the dawning of a new day. And it's endless possibilities. What shall I plant? What shall I create? It is important time right now not to retreat back into the old ways. Because we have a tendency to do that sometimes, don't we? You know when you keep going around and around and around and doing the same thing and only with a different date, you know? Okay, it's like that. We have a tendency, we get to that crucial point, and then instead of going forward, we retreat back into the old familiar ways. And it can be very tempting at this point in time. But we must continue on to that brighter future. We must continue on to that new day, which brings us to the sixth word. And it comes from John 19:30, when Jesus says, "It is finished." It is finished. And the word there is completion. Completion. You know, the perfection of spiritual law is in those words. We cannot manifest a new day when we're still hanging on to the old day. We can't do it. You know, we can't hedge our bets. You know, it's like, well, just in case this doesn't work out, I'm going to hang on to the past. We can't manifest the new day while clinging to the old day and clinging to what has passed. We must be in alignment spiritually and physically and emotionally and mentally in alignment with our new, with the truth of us, with this greater idea of who we are as spirit before we can move it into manifestations. Our prayers are answered already. In the mind of God, the prayer is already answered. The prayer is answered when it is prayed. In the mind of God, the manifestation, the demonstration is already done. We need to have the faith to see it through to manifestation. In the mind of God, it is already now. And as the door has closed behind us, the old ways that no longer work for us have been closed behind us, this new door opens and we have to pass through it. We are ready. We are ready when we call it complete. We're done with the old ways. We're of single mind. We are of single eye. And we're ready for our new life. So that is complete. And it brings us to our seventh word. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And that seventh word is surrender. And everybody goes, don't. Surrender, it's not giving up. It's not giving up. It is surrender. Surrendering to a power and a presence greater than we are. Surrendering to that power that has our best intentions in mind. We surrender to that greater thing in this process of transformation so that we can grow in greatness. We can grow in love. We can grow in joy, in all of the other qualities of God. On the banner. So that we can grow. This is the time we allow ourselves to surrender to a greater life than we have ever known before. And Spirit never leads us astray. This is the time to let go and let God. The sun is shining, the new day has dawned. To be used by Spirit with no attachment to outcome is our ultimate freedom. You want me to say that again? Breathe, only if you promise to breathe. Breathe through that. To be used by Spirit with no attachment to outcome is our ultimate freedom. Surrender, like completion, the sixth word, is 100%, or it's a deal breaker. You just have to go for it all. Surrender is 100% or not at all. You can't hold back. You can't hold anything back. We're either surrendered or we're not. We can't hedge our bets just in case. We can't surrender some things and not others. You know how we do that? We play those little games with ourselves. Well, I'll surrender my love life, but not my job. You know, my job I need to control or else, you know, right? Okay, so no, we need to surrender all of it. So those seven words, those seven phrases that represent seven words, forgiveness, now, oneness, truth, vision, completeness or completion, and surrender. Those are the seven words, the seven living words. These are the keys to our transformation. This is what this Easter story is telling us. We die to our sense of limitation. We die to the illusion of our own limitation, and we are reborn into a new life. The value of the Easter story is how it continues to guide us, that it has our best interest at heart, that we are led through a betrayal, whatever the betrayal. And we're betrayed all the time, aren't we, really? I mean, every time we outgrow something, every time somebody leaves, every time we sell a house, every time there is an ending to something, right? That's kind of that little betrayal to the way we thought life was going to be. So the Easter story tells us how to move through those things, the betrayal and the crucifixion and the dead space, to the place of transformation, to the new day when the stone is rolled away. The value in the Easter story is how it continues to guide us through our life so that we have the tools to transform to our next greater yet to be. And what is that for you? What is that for you? Each time we are born again, each time we awake in the morning, each time we have a new thought, we are born again. We have a clean slate. We're done with the old. We're ready to embrace a new day, a new experience, a new us. So what will you plant this day in the soil of law? So you got seeds, right? You got seeds. Ernest Holmes said this. I love it. In his Easter talk in 1950, I think it was, he said, here are a number of seeds. They are small, hard, and drab in color, entirely unprepossessing in appearance, but in each rests the miracle of life. This will be a lilac. That will be a sweet pea. This will be a petunia. And in like manner, we must decide what mental seed we will plant, under what heading it comes. Is it the seed of health, love, success, self-respect, joy? Each seed contains within it everything to make a complete manifestation. What will you plant now? Having gone through the transformational experience, we are new. We are born again. We are clean slates. So what will you plant today to manifest in the future? Thank you.